Thank you, Peyton. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation said, Amen. That's what the Scripture says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. And I hope that by now you've got that down and are letting that verse help guide you daily in your life. Well, it certainly is a good day. It's always good for us to be together in this fashion, that we can be together as brethren, family, have opportunity to sing these praises that we have done today, read from the Scripture, and to pray up to God, to ask our petitions, make them known to Him, and have the opportunity of allowing Him to mold and to shape our lives. It's getting to be that time of the year. In fact, we're very close to the anniversary of, well, the tornado time, huh? In fact, I saw somewhere where they're already getting ready to announce the hurricane season and the forecast for it, and we all know they're always right about that, don't we? Well, we'll just wait and see what happens, won't we? I sure will. And, of course, there's a lot of things going on in the congregation. Ladies, boy, we love you. You do such marvelous work in our congregation in so many different ways, so many things that are going on. And I know that Tuesday is the ladies' class. I think that's their last meeting for the season until come around fall time. We're going to have the ladies' luncheon. That's going to take place this coming Tuesday. That always sort of marks our heading off into the summertime and the events of all of that. And I guess I could just say to you, we're looking forward to a great time of some Wednesday evenings, our summer series with a lot of great preachers from around our area that'll be coming, speaking on making me a servant. So a little commercial for our Wednesday evening services, and a reminder for those of you ladies, your final luncheon day on this Tuesday coming up. So get ready for those things. It'll soon be graduation time. Don't forget to sign up for the Oklahoma Christian College people being here. We want to again show them our hospitality. We had a great concert 4 years ago out at Full Armor. I'm sure it will be that way again. We just enjoyed the kids and everybody being here. It was a big build us up kind of a day. I hope you'll be looking forward to that. And I hope you had a great time in Bible class today. I wish you all could have been in our Bible class that Brother Bobby Davis is directing. We had a great class. We had some assignments that were issued. And Bobby, I didn't really report on mine, but I think when you hear the lesson, I think you'll hear some of my homework assignment in Proverbs of chapter 13 and 14 and the reading of some of those great things. In fact, I told Rosemary before we got up here, I said, well, they have preached my sermon in class, and that happens often, doesn't it, Tom? And sometimes the preacher preaches your sermon, your class, doesn't he? It just happens that way. I did tell Rosemary, and I'll admit to this, but I want you to know that I said it in all humility, that I'm going to say it better than what we said in class. I don't know how it could have been said any better. We really had some great expressions in our class. I want to talk to us today about our own image. I know that we're all focusing on, and I know that we all strive to focus upon Jesus, who is our Savior. Am I right about that? Amen? Okay, just looking for a little response from you. And I know we strive to do that, each and every day of our lives. And yet we all recognize that it's difficult with all of the things that go on in life for us to maintain that focus the way we really want to, or how we start out maybe the week or our day even, about focusing on Jesus and His teaching and who He is and what He does. As we think about His image, about who He is, and I'm not talking about whatever particular picture. I always appreciate Ben, because, you know, Ben does my PowerPoints, and he just makes them come to life with the things that he does for us. But a lot of the things that he puts up here as pictures or the ideas that come across, not in just today's lesson, but so many of them, help to project the thoughts and the ideas of the things that are trying to be expressed. But I want to say that as I get started, we'll read our passage here from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in a minute, but I want you to think about the image that you have of Christ. And I'm really talking about how we begin to reconcile our own image to be like Him, okay? So listen to our passage. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. I'm starting at verse 12 because I didn't want to read the whole chapter to you, which I wanted to, but I'm not doing it. Therefore, that's a conclusion. That's, you know, I'm starting at the place where you're supposed to go back and look, all right? So you probably want to do that. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Now, that's one of the great things about Scripture. When you read it and you understand it, you recognize what freedom it gives you and what it allows you to do. So Paul says, since we have a hope in Christ, we are very bold. And we are not like Moses. So he's looking back in history, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end. That would be the shiny face of Moses, having come down from the mountain and his face shining. And the people looking at that and watching it fade, the veil was a sense of protection to, I guess, to keep them from focusing on the idea that God was leaving Moses. Moses, who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away, that was the glow, but their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it removed or taken away. Only in Christ is it taken away. So even unto this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Are you looking? We're not talking about the clothes they wear or something over this. But a veil, something shadowing their thought and their mind. It covers their hearts. But when anyone or whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is lifted. It's taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what, brethren? Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, the psychologists tell us this, it's a psychological law, that we tend to become like the mental image that we have of ourselves. Well, that's really coming from a biblical point of view, isn't it? It really is a biblical principle, because the book of Proverbs chapter 23 says quite clearly, For as he thinketh, as a person thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now this word that is translated here in his heart is the idea of your mental capacity. As you know, I'm always pointing to my head, trying to get you to think about what goes on in your mind when you think about the heart of a person. So what's your image? I believe that all of us have some vision or dream of what we will be or who we will become. I don't know if you had any of those moments. I'm just going to say, Leighton, I think you identify with me on this. I did a little daydreaming when I was in school. I remember, lots of different classes where I was someplace else. And I was usually thinking about something else I was going to do. Or maybe it was I was thinking about what I was going to do when I just got out of school. And I didn't have to be there anymore. Because sometimes as a kid, you begin to think like school is never going to end. Am I talking over your head? Is anybody with me on this? Well, sure. We all think about things otherwise. What's the greatest need? What is it that we need in the congregation today? What's the need in the church? What about the Christian life? You ever think about those things? I know that as a preacher, as a minister, as ministers, David and I spend lots of our time looking and reading and researching what everybody's thinking about the church, about how to improve it. How to make things better. How to bring it up out of a slump. Or how to reach more people. Or how to find other folks in the community. Or how to be a greater example. We're always looking for those new things. Or things to help us have a greater impact. To bring ourselves into line to what Jesus said. Is it knowledge that we're in need of? The Bible says quite plainly in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study and show thyself approved unto God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling aright, rightly dividing the word of truth. You all know that passage in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Or Peter will state, now I'm not just going to cite scriptures for you to say, oh, let me write that down. I want you to think about your image and what comes to mind. But sanctify, that means set apart the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, are you prepared to answer the questions of the folks that are there inquiring because they have seen it in you? You know, are you getting those questions? Is it a new program that's going to boost it? Well, hey, programs are great. They give us new energy. They help us to see things fresh. They help us to reach out maybe in areas that we haven't been or go to places that we haven't been. Or methodology, when someone has a new method, and if you think back, if you're as old as I am, you can think back of all of the different things that have come along in the church that we all saw and recognized as a method and maybe even got ourselves involved with them. How many of you remember the Joy Bus era? How many of you remember the flip chart era? How many of you remember Ding. Does that ring a bell with anybody? No pun intended. The old film strips. When it got to a certain spot, it said ding. You had to flip the switch so you could go to the next slide, right? Well, that was just the technology and the method. But we're not using that method anymore. We've got a different method. We have a whole different approach. We're always trying to improve ourselves. And those are good things to do. Whether they're campaigns to go on, or whether they're lectureships or workshops to go attend, those are marvelous things. Nowadays, we can bring those things to us in the DVD and on the TV screen. Those are wonderful advancements for today. And yet the Scripture says still, Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, that all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have said unto you or have commanded unto you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The mission's still the same. All of these things about us that change, and maybe sometimes, let me even say, frustrate us, because the change is hard to wrap our minds around. Things are different. It's not the way it was in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s or the 80s, if you came through any of those eras. In fact, it's not even the way it was in the early 2000s, in the millennial. It's changing all of the time. What is your image? What is the technique that works? What is the idea behind church growth survey? What's the whole purpose of studying other growing groups or congregations? Are these the things that are of the greatest importance and of need? They're all very helpful. I've said all of that. You know I'm fixing to probably throw butt it all out the door. I don't want you to get that. All of those things are things that are at our fingertips to use, and I believe God puts them in our path for us to use them. All of it as well is good. But it isn't our greatest need. It is not our greatest need. Our greatest need is for you to be the image of Christ. Our greatest need is for me, Bob, to be the image of Jesus when I stand before you. It's for us to grasp who Jesus is. And I don't know why it's this way. I don't know why we tend to be more enamored with the exhaust than the motor itself. Where you at, Roger? There you are. Well, I know that, you know, those Flowmasters make it sound good. And you may want to get behind that thing just to hear vroom, vroom. Oh, that's good. It's the motor that's doing that. Am I right about that? One of the things I remember as a kid, my dad was a racer. And I can remember my eyes burning from the ether and the alcohol that the race cars were burning as they went around that little track, man. And tears running down my eyes. But do you think that got me away from the fence? Oh, it was the excitement of what was happening. Who was going to win the race? Or if it's paint, my wife doesn't care about paint. She loves the smell of it. I think she gets high on it. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Am I right about that? Man, she can walk in a place and, oh, smell that paint. I always keep a fresh cord on hand, David, just to put a little behind my ear, just, you know, thinking maybe things will be different for the week, you know. Let her smell on that a little bit. She likes the smell of it. But is that really the purpose of what the paint is for? No, it's a byproduct of it. The paint's to cover the thing. It's to protect the thing. And in many cases, to make it look better. Not always. But yet as human beings, we tend to be enamored by that. Listen to me. Jesus went about doing good, Acts 10 verse 38. It's such a simple response. You can have all of the 60 or 70 or 80 or 100 inch TVs in the world and technology, but if nobody wants to do what Jesus did, it won't work. What we need are people who realize the mixture, or if you will, the blending of the reality of putting those things together. You're using the technology and using the knowledge and using the method to make us do better. Because, brethren, it's always right to do the right thing. How hard is that to remember? Well, in the midst of everything, sometimes it's difficult during life when things are not, well, going as we thought they would go. Just do what's right. That's really all that God has ever asked me to do. Do what's right. Do what I've asked you to do. Do what I have instructed you to do. That's the teaching of the New Testament. And we desperately need the image of Jesus going about doing good. That's what life in the trenches is really all about. Now I'm just warmed up to this, and I'm going to tell you about three different things. I don't know how far we'll get. I'll be a good minder. I'm going to try to be a good steward of the time. But let me talk about spiritual living, or our own personal image, about lives that are disciplined, and then learning how to be sensitive to the person's or other people's needs. Here we go. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, probably one of my favorite places in all of Scripture, spiritual living, our image of living, is a quality that you can learn about. It's a quality that's given to you freely. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and at verse 11, we begin reading over there, and you will see that God was planning on us having a marvelous, marvelous relationship with Him because of the Spirit of God. And you remember our passage says that this image, we are being transformed into that image on a daily basis by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Now listen to what this writer, Paul, says as he begins telling us that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him that love him. So he says, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Amen? Is that what we have? That is what we receive, isn't it? And we receive that we might know the things that are freely given us by God. Which things we speak of, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual nature of things. Now the natural person, he doesn't understand these things. He doesn't understand them because he doesn't have the Spirit of God living in him. That is the Spirit that God gives to those that obey Him. Let me keep pointing this out. This is a spiritual attitude adjustment, if you will. Therefore, this is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If any person be in Christ, they are a new creation. They're a new creature, depending on what your version is. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Think about your life. What have you changed? Have you changed your life? Since you're in Jesus, has your life made a change? Because you see, any person who's in Christ is a new creature. And the old things pass away, and everything else becomes new. As we said in our class from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the Spirit of God in you. And see, that's predicated on being in Christ. That's based upon the new birth. There was a man of the Pharisees by the name of Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth the things or doeth the miracles that you do, except God be with him. Jesus said, Amen and amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into it? This is an example of what we read in 1 Corinthians, isn't it? That the natural man who does not have the Spirit, he doesn't grasp always the things of God. Nicodemus doesn't understand this birth. He thinks it's a physical one. And he wants to know how he can be born when he is old. Can he enter into his mother's womb for a second time? Well, we know that that's not a possibility. We know this is a spiritual transformation. And Jesus says again, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. James would say it in a very simple way. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. You see, those who hear but don't do, they're like a person looking into a mirror. Oh yeah, okay. Things are better now. Oh, okay. And puts it down. And he steps outside in the wind, he goes, uh-oh. And we get back. He's got to look a second time. He may be back several times. Because he forgets what he looks like. It's a mundane kind of thing. It's not really grasping or fully understanding the power of what God reveals to us by His Spirit. What is your image of Christ? What do you picture? Do you picture doing good? That's the image of Jesus. That's what he went about doing. Do not just simply be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. That transformation that we're speaking about, this birth, as Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, how? By the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we studied this morning and we said, Solomon over and over continues to tell us that wisdom, my son, is in the Word of God. Want to be wise? Want to be knowledgeable? Want to be able to help others? Want to break the cycle of life that sends you down the wrong path? Stay in the Word of God. Our teacher challenged us this morning and said, are you in the Word of God? Are you? Are you into Facebook? Are you into all of the other things? How about the Word of God? What we need in the body of Christ is we need people who will become doers and not hearers only. Obviously, as a preacher, I mean, I like worship time because I like to preach. But this is not what it's about. It's a portion of what we do. But my friend, through the week, it's what you do. It's doing the will of God. James 1 verse 18 said this way, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruits of His creation. We were born, that's what begat means. We're born through and by the Word of God. Sanctify them, Father, with Thy truth, yet Thy Word is truth. And we live in a realm or an age when people just, somehow or another, can't buy into the idea that there's any truth to be found. It's all relative. It's all applied in some fashion to, for me to be able to change it. And yet, Jesus very plainly said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed. Does it get any simpler than that? And you will know what? You will know the truth. Is Jesus a liar? Or is He one who speaks truth? You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. All of that being a product, as we read our scripture, as we began this lesson, because of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when Peter responds to the question of men and brethren, what shall we do? They've realized they've crucified the Lord. He says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and ye will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now we are the witnesses, or His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God gives to all those who obey Him. Acts 5 and verse 32. That's a parallel, isn't it, to what we read in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18? We who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of the Lord are being transformed into His image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You get those dots? It's in the message. It's in the Word. It's because the Spirit lives and dwells in us. We develop a spiritual attitude. And we develop a spiritual image. Because it's a daily kind of cross-bearing that we're involved in. You cannot sow wild oats for 6 days and show up on the seventh to pray for a crop failure. Did you hear that? That's not what this is about. We're not here to pray for crop failures over the last 6 days. We're here to love and adore our God who loves us, who saved us through the blood of Jesus Christ and who continually cleanses us from our sin. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a simple scripture, isn't it? Galatians chapter 6. But to the Spirit, my friend, you reap everlasting life. Paul would tell us whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever is of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise in these things, what? Think on these things. That's the image. That's the image of Christ. That takes the disciplined life. That takes the daily cross-bearing. It's been my experience, Bobby, over the years that everybody wants to be delivered. Nobody wants to pay the postage. Me included. But in order to be delivered, you have to understand that. I'm not talking about working your salvation out for yourself or that you somehow or another merit it. But Jesus said we're supposed to have a disciplined life, and to do that, we have to have an attitude change. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? Kingdom of heaven. Isn't that right? Blessed are they that mourn. What will happen to them? They will be comforted. Love to see your lips saying those words. Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What will happen? They shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What a wonderful idea. I wonder who thought of such a great thing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall... Are you listening? Blessed are the pure in heart. What will they do? Doesn't this make sense? They will see God. We all know there's all kinds of see, right? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will begin to understand and see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, not the rumble makers, not the upset brethren folk. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called what? The children of God. Yes. What a great idea of attitude change. And then even blessed are they who are persecuted. And they're persecuted for the wrong thing, just like Jesus was, right? We're not alone in this. When you get persecuted, don't go running around thinking, I'm the only guy that's ever happened to. You better remember Jesus. Here's the guy that had people that they paid to lie for him or about him. They will inherit the kingdom of heaven. I believe that's what makes us sensitive to other people's needs. If we learn those things, we become sensitive to our world about us, to our community. Mayor, I want to know why we're only number four as the friendly city. Now, that was a pretty good marking when you're compared to maybe with lots of cities Henderson's... how many of you read that article? Did you see that article? We're number four. I don't even remember a commercial even talking about who, number four, right? I mean, we want to be number one. But if we're in Christ, we want to be the kindest, friendliest people on the face of the earth to the whole world. And this is free. I'm not even going to charge. I wasn't even going to say this, but listen to me. Sometimes we're kinder to folks we don't know than we are our own brethren. Folks come by the building and they need a little help, so we give them a little money. Or they want a little bill paid, and we try to pay a bill for it. We try to help them out. I've heard other brothers that have been brothers in our family sometimes over the years. Somebody will say, well, why don't they learn how to manage their money? I want to say, why don't you learn how to shut up and do what God asks? Has any of you ever been short? I don't mean stature. Any of you ever needed a bill paid? I'm just trying to say, if we can love people we don't even know, why don't we love our brethren? Don't you think you ought to do that? Come on, folk. What we need is, we will keep looking for all the greatest new technologies to be better. We will try to do our best, the best that we can. Even those of us that are in the, you know, the stages where we just don't want to change. Sure, we're going to keep changing, trying to keep up. But what we really need is, we need you to go about doing good. Why don't you volunteer for some folks to come stay at your house from the Oklahoma Christian College boys and girls? Why don't you get involved in what's going on? Do something. Be a doer of the word. Not just a hearer only. You know, I love you. I'm saying all this and I'm grinning. I don't want you to be mad with me, but I just want to say to you, let's get up off the pew and go do something good. Can I get an amen to that? God bless you. I love you. If you're subject to the call of the invitation to be where Jesus is, and God will be forever and ever, respond in obedience to what He wants you to do. You haven't done that yet. And you want to do that. We can do that today. Wherever your life is, you need help. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We invite you to come. Why don't you come? While we stand and sing.